He's the famous frontman pulling double duty for both the Angels and the Screaming Jets. But even one of the busiest musos in Australia still has to stop for lunch and a chat to Oz Music's biggest names. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets.
And this is our Lunch with Gleeso catch-up podcast, with conversations you may have missed earlier and the parts we just didn't have time to play today.
Been wondering about an intro for this guy. He's been around since the inception of what we know as contemporary Australian rock in this country. He's been involved in so many bands. I'm just going to say, Ross Wilson, welcome to the show. How are you, mate?
Oh, thanks, Dave. Yeah, good. I'm really, really good.
When we talk about the Ross Wilson journey and the story, it started as a very young man for you. You were inspired by music as a young teenager.
Yeah, well, I've been into music, you know, since I was a little kid, really. I mean, just listening to the radio and stuff around the house. My dad was a bit of a jazzer, so I heard lots of jazz, and my mum had classical music. So I sort of got the whole spectrum and figured out what I liked the most, and it turned out it was sort of rock and roll and the blues by the time I was in my early teens, and that's where I headed off and formed, you know, joined a band, and that was that.
Such an enduring career. Daddy Cool in 1970 was the one that kind of, I guess, brought you to this international, not just national, but international acclaim.
Well, it was an amazing, amazing story, really. A lot of it's documented in a new book called Daddy Who that's just come out. I didn't write it. It was written by another guy, but we have, you know, interviews with us and a lot of funny stories that haven't been told before. But, yeah, Daddy Cool was, you know, like that. I'd been in bands for about 5 or 6 years, just learning how to do things and started writing songs. And then Daddy Cool was kind of where all the things that had happened all congealed into one thing, you know, and that one little point, it was like the Big Bang, you know, it's like, and that was Eagle Rock. And so, like, Eagle Rock exploded out and we went off to America and we did all kinds of stuff. But it was a quite an amazing couple of years with them, yeah.
Amazing story for me is, and I've heard John Brewster tell it many times, is he was in the Moons, oh, I think it was the Keystone Angels they'd become at that stage, and they saw you guys at Maiponga, and John just went, okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is getting up there and playing guitars through amps and playing that rock and roll inspired music.
Well, it's amazing how many people, I don't know what it was about Daddy Cool, but so many people were inspired to, like, take up music from seeing us. And I know this because they've told me, like, you know, Jeff Burston, the guitarist, he was in Judges Epp and the Falcons and Black Sorrows, and he's an amazing guitarist, you know, and he said, oh, I first picked up the guitar because I wanted to play the songs on the Daddy Who album. And I go, well, that's incredible, Jeff, because, like, I still could hardly play the guitar, and you've sort of taken it, like, way up there. And you know, I inspired you. That's incredible.
What I also love, you were never just going to be a one-trick pony. That's something that you can, I'm sure they talk about it in the Daddy Cool book, because you weren't just a singer or just a songwriter. You were discovering new talent even at that early age.
I was always going out and looking for other people, and that's how I came across Greg McCainch and Skyhooks. You know, they were playing at a gig I was at, and I went, what are those songs, you know? Who wrote those? And I went, oh, well, I did, Greg says, you know. So, and it all went from there, and it took about 18 months, and suddenly it all came together for them too, and I produced them.
And you have a long list of producing credits, Jojo Zapp and the Skyhooks, Pat Wilson, the Johnnies, and even the band who can't be produced, the Screaming Jets.
That was quite a challenge, Dave.
I know.
I had to get out the whip a couple of times.
I was saying to Al before that we were kind of not in a great place after, I guess it had been 10 or 12 years in the industry and on the road, and you were kind of instrumental in at least bringing us into land without crashing terribly on the runway.
Well, you did event. You broke up soon after that, though, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
It was the last-ditch attempt. But I remember at the time we shared management, and then, you know, Gary Raven, he got me, he said, you ought to produce these guys. And I really liked what I heard. So I did my best, and I hope you still like that album.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, talking about this book, is there things in there that you kind of go, oh, jeepers, do people have to know that?
Well, yeah, I came back from the launch, and we had a book lying around the house, and next thing I know, my 18-year-old son is, where's that book gone? And he was in his room reading it. You know, I'm going, oh, no, he's going to find out all this stuff. He only sort of probably guessed about before, you know, now it's going to be confirmed.
A big month for you, Ross. You're rocking the boat.
I am going on Rock the Boat, and this is my third time on Rock the Boat, so the mates love me. This time, as they always have a big special guest. One time I was, you know, Barnsley was the headlining, and we did shows with Barnsley, and this time it's Foreigner.
All right.
Cold as ice.
Unreal. Now, give us a bit of a heads up, because I'm embarking on my first journey on the Rock the Boat next year. Is it fun hanging around with all these other bands?
It is fun. I mean, the thing about Rock the Boat is it's music from the time you get up until late in the evening, you know. There's something going on around the boat. They have deck bands. They have bands in other little rooms, and then each night there's the major concert. Now, when you say, you know, going on a boat, this is like an incredibly huge boat. It's 2,000 punters on board. They've got a theatre with, you know, a big racked auditorium with a huge stage, and only holds 1,000 people. So they have two shows a night, you know.
Right.
It's like a, and I'll be doing a show where I open, and then for the second show, it's Foreigner, and then they turn it around, and the next night it's Foreigner first and me second. But right. They have people, you know, come in and out, and then there's, like I said, once that over and you've got the bug and you still want to go, there's all the other stuff happening till about 3 a.m, you know. People are there for the music and, of course, you know, the booze and the food as well.
So it's
and the gambling.
It's not a case of going to bed and waking up on this cruise. It's passing out and coming to. That's pretty well what everyone does,
yes,
isn't it?
I'm afraid so.
Now, I'm actually taking my family, so I thought I'd incorporate a bit of a holiday in there as well.
It's what I take my wife, Tanya, and she's very excited about it. The first time she's going, oh, I don't know if I want to be on a boat for a week, you know, and then now she goes, when are we going? I think it's fantastic.
One of the things I did glean from the looking up at the Wikipedia machine is that you were inducted into the Hall of Fame as a solo artist in 1989. Yeah. Prior to being inducted with Daddy Cool in 2006.
That's right, and you haven't mentioned my other band, Mondo Rock.
The Mondo, oh, absolutely.
See, now we want to start a campaign here. We started in Oztober. We want Mondo Rock into the Hall of Fame as well. And then I'll be the only guy in three times.
All right. And look, I have to say, Come Said the Boy is not just for me, but obviously many people around my age. That was a coming of age song for me that still, every time I hear it, it takes me right back to Merriweather Beach at the age of 17 years old. And you know, the joy of life being revealed to me.
Still very popular in Schoolies Week.
And look, we played Eagle Rock before, and I was telling Al that there's a huge thing that goes along with that in university campuses, I think, especially around the country. What's that?
Well, especially in Queensland, and right. You know, you might be able to vouch for this, but the Queensland University, they claim they started it, and it's what we call the Eagle Drop. And that when Eagle Rock is played, you have to undo your belt and let your decks go around your ankles. You keep your undies on, right?
Drop, and, course.
This is a big thing, and I didn't know anything about this until, I don't know, about 15 years ago, and I read a thing in the paper about it. I went, what's this, you know? And it was about these two soldiers who'd been arrested in Townsville and charged with lewd behaviour. And I'm reading through it, I'm going, yeah, that sounds right. And then it gets to the end and they said, in our defence, Your Honour, we always do that when they play Eagle Rock. And I went, what? And then from there it blossomed and I realised it was going on all over the place, and particularly at university campuses, at 21st and in the military. And I played in this person's private birthday party once, and there was this big tall guy in the corner, and we got around to playing Eagle Rock. He drops his dax. And I went, who's that? And it turns out he was a general. And in the military colleges, if Eagle Rock is played and you don't drop your dax, it's like the worst thing you can possibly do. You're breaking the cycle. You have to do it. Otherwise you get, you know, I don't know what they do. You kick you out of the
army. A dishonourable discharge.
Yeah, that's right.
Some type of discharge.
Yeah, that's some type of discharge.
It's always a great pleasure to catch up with Ross Wilson, who has done so much to make the Australian music scene what it is. Daddy Cool to Mondo's to his own solo stuff to working with other bands, Skyhooks, JoJo, Zepp, the Johnnies. One of my all-time favourite live bands. It's been great to catch up with you, Ross. What do you got on the horizon, mate?
Oh, you know, gigging around. I'm always on the go. Summer's coming up, and so I'll be doing some festivals. And I'm going to be doing a few blues festivals coming up, so keep your eyes out for those ones.
Cool, mate. And, of course, the book, Daddy Who?
Daddy Who. You'll find out who Daddy Who really was. Daddy, who was Daddy? It's in there.
Who's your daddy? Thanks very much, Ross, for your time. It's been great to catch up.
This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso.